chapter 1. Amen. Last night we had our evangelism class, and we talked a lot about the Catholic Church and their influences. But we didn't expect to meet them here tonight. In other words, let's get a little more energy. Amen. That was for last night. This is a new night. We thank God for seeing Michael and Sia with us on this evening. Thank God for seeing Dr. Austin. Amen. If I knew we were going to be here tonight, we could have had to go 7 hours tonight. Amen. You always ready. Are you ready?
I didn't know I was going to be here.
Oh, okay. Amen. Truly we thank God. Amen. Tonight, spiritually, we're living in some very challenging times. Amen. More challenging than most of us realize. And as we've been saying lately, one of the main tools that the devil tries to use is this tool of oppression and discouragement. That's one of the main tools he's trying to use. Amen. But we should be so grateful because God has given us joy. And the scripture says concerning the joy that Jesus gives us that no man can take it away. It's in us. And David, the sweet psalmist, said, Lord, you can take a whole lot of things away from me, but don't take your Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. There's something about God's Spirit down on the inside, even when things seem like they're going rough and against you. There's a still small voice that resonates within our souls and says, keep going, you can make it. Amen. And everything always looks worse than it is.
Come on.
But the God of all grace.
All right.
Amen. After you suffer a while, it said, make you perfect, settle, strengthen, and he will settle you in the faith. When? After you suffer a little while. God will never put more on us than we're able to bear. So tonight, I encourage you, amen, to be strong in the Lord. In ourselves, we can do nothing. And of ourselves, we can do nothing. But it's time to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Amen. Because we serve a faithful God. We're going to read collectively from verses 12, and we'll conclude by reading verse 21 together. Do we all have it? Amen. Let us start. But I would ye should understand, brethren. But I would ye should understand, brethren.
Chapter 1. She got 4 up there.
Chapter 1, verse 12. Well, we can read that one too, because we do know both how to be amazed and how to bow, right? That's my daughter. So we win, hallelujah, we win. I read the back of the book. And we win. Amen.
She's making
1:12. One more. Amen. Well, we'll start and she'll catch us out of that. It says, but I would ye should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel, so that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace and in all other places. And many of the brethren in the Lord, waxing confident by my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Some indeed preach Christ even of envy and strife, some also of goodwill. The one preached Christ of contention, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my bonds, but the other of love, knowing that I am set for the defense of the gospel. What then, notwithstanding every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached, and I therein do rejoice, yea, and will rejoice. For I know that this shall turn to my salvation through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, according to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness as always, to live is Christ, and to die is Christ. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus. Lord, thank you for your goodness. Lord, we thank you for your mercy. Lord, we thank you for being a keeper. Lord, we thank you for watching over us and keeping back the hands of the death angel. Lord, we thank you that we have strength. Lord, we thank you most of all for our mind that we have to assemble ourselves together. Lord, we thank you that as an adversary desire to have us, that he might sift us as wheat on tonight. Father God, we thank you that you prayed that our faith would not fail. And Lord, we ask you to walk around Zion on this evening. Lord, see the needs of our people. Lord, search every heart. Lord, search every mind. And Lord, send thy word to heal. Send thy word to deliver. Lord, send thy word to set free. Father God, in the name of Jesus. Lord, we stand on your promises because your promises are true. Lord, we stand on the word of God, for thy word declares that it will abide forever. Now, Father God, speak to us on this evening and give us an ear to hear what the Spirit will say unto the church. Can we all say in Jesus' name?
Jesus.
Amen. Truly we thank God once again. Amen for his goodness. And you know, I was thinking that songwriter said, I almost let go. Amen. How many feel like that tonight? I almost let go. I felt like I just couldn't take life anymore. Amen. My problems had me bound. Depression had me down. But thank God he held us close. Amen. And he wouldn't let go. Amen. Thank God he held us close. And he wouldn't let go. If the devil had his way, he would turn up the heat in a lot of our lives and a lot of our situations. But he has one thing that's in his way, and that's God. God will only let him go so far. Amen. God will only allow the devil to try us so much. And then he will say, it is enough. How many are glad to hear him say, Lord, it's enough? Lord, I'm glad to hear you say it's enough. Amen. Because Jesus said concerning this day, if it was possible, even the very elect would be deceived. But when he says it's enough. But tonight we thank God that in spite of everything that's happening around about us, I still have a mind to believe the Lord. Amen. God's word is true. And so is his promise. And God's word is so true, the Bible says in Corinthians, all the promises of God are yea and amen. God's promises are yea and amen. In other words, there's no doubt. It's more sure than when we go to the bank for check. You know, most of us, when we get our paychecks, when we go to the bank, we expect that paycheck to be what? Well, God's word is sure. But the devil was trying to take God's word and make us doubt it. Isn't it such an amazing thing that we can trust? You know, when we get those income tax checks, right? Even though most of us are spending before we get it, anyway. But we still go to the bank, we expect it to be cash. Amen. And when we receive our paychecks every week, we expect them to be cash. God's word is more sure than that. Amen. So tonight, where is our confidence? Amen. Our confidence must be in God because he promised. And the word the Bible says concerning God's promises, they cannot be altered, they cannot be changed. God's promises are immutable, meaning they cannot be changed. So we must stand on his promises. We must bank on his promises more than on anything else. Amen. Because God's word is true. Well, this is Paul in writing to the Philippians. And you will ask the question when you consider the place that Paul is writing this letter from. He's writing this letter from
prison.
Prison.
Right.
And someone would say, how in the world could he have joy writing from prison?
Come on.
Because he said, I will rejoice, and again I will rejoice. So how can Paul have joy writing from prison? Because Paul embraced God's promises. And tonight, we must embrace the promises of God. No matter what everything seems to be like, remember, all God has to do is speak the word, and everything will change in a moment's time. Paul writes, but I would you should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen rather unto the furtherance of the gospel. Paul's mind was right. And in the book of Proverbs, the scripture says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Paul realized that God has called me for a purpose. And God has put his seal of approval on my life. So even though he was in prison, Paul refused to be bound. And that's why when he writes to Timothy, he says the word of God will never be bound. Amen. Amen. I don't care what you do, God's word cannot be bound.
Thank you.
And God's word have I hid in my heart, so I can't be bound. Paul understood what it meant to get a hold of God. So he said, the things that have happened unto me have fallen out rather unto God. Tonight, whatever's happening unto you, amen. Don't look at it as it's your demise spiritually.
Come on.
Whatever you're going through tonight is falling out rather unto the furtherance. Amen. And remember, as you think in your heart, so are you. Amen. And he says that we must keep our hearts with all diligence. Well, why do we want to keep our heart with all diligence? For out of it are the issues of life. And you know, when you look at that scripture, it looks small. Keep thy heart with all diligence. Find the other issues of your life. But that is a big scripture. Because it gives a great spiritual pictorial illustration for what God is saying. The word keep means to stand on a watch, to stand on a tower as though you are a guard. Keep thy heart. So you are a guard that's on a tower and you're protecting your heart. And the word diligence means that it's surrounded by guards. So it's saying, stand on the tower, watch over your heart, and surround it with guards. Why? Because out of that heart are all of the issues of life. So whatever you feel and think in your heart, that's what you are. Amen. If we think we're defeated, guess what?
Come on.
We're defeated. If you think I can't make it, guess what? You can't make it. If you think the glass is half empty, it's half empty.
All right.
So whatever you think in your heart, that's what your life is. So you must keep your heart guarded. Well, why am I guarding my heart? Because the devil is trying to get some stuff in there that God don't know about.
Amen.
So I'm going to watch just like a prison. Like, you ever seen those prisons where they got the high towers? They got the guard center that keep making sure nothing goes out, nothing comes in. Spiritually, that's how we have to watch over our hearts.
Amen.
We must make sure the right things don't come, the right things come in and the wrong things don't.
Amen.
And we must make sure also that the right things go out and not the wrong things.
Amen.
So we must keep our hearts with all diligence. Amen. Our salvation will not be based on anyone else. That's why the Bible says, when we appear before the judgment seat of Christ, we individually must give an account for everything done in our bodies.
Amen.
So it's so important tonight that we want to make sure, amen, that when I look at my account and I think things over, we want to be able to say, it's well with my soul.
Amen. Amen.
And this is what Paul is saying. He said, I might be in prison. Amen. But I fought a good fight.
Yeah.
Paul said, I might be bound. Amen. And henceforth there laid up for me a crown of righteousness. Saints tonight, we got to fight.
Yeah.
Amen. I'm on the battlefield for my Lord.
Yeah.
I promise him that I will serve him till I die. I'm on the battlefield. Amen. And on this battlefield, you're going to have some wars you got to fight.
Yeah.
Amen. But keep thy heart with all diligence. Paul says, the things that have happened unto me. Amen. Whatever you're going through this evening, God knows. And they're not intended to hurt or hinder the gospel, but they're intended for the furtherance of the gospel. The Bible says concerning Paul, when he first got called, when he was Saul, the Lord told Paul, I must show you what great things thou must suffer. For what? The gospel's sake. Lord, I don't care what I have to suffer as long as it's for the gospel's sake. Amen. I don't care how low I have to go as long as it's for the gospel's sake. I don't care what kind of persecution I have to take as long as it's for the gospel's sake. Amen. Because when our minds are right and our lives are in tune, amen, somebody somewhere is going to be encouraged. When our lives are right and our minds are in tune, somebody somewhere is going to be encouraged. And because they're encouraged, the gospel will spread. So he says, so that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace and in all other places. Amen. They thought I'd be discouraged. Somebody thought I'd be down. Amen. But I can't get discouraged because God has been too good to me.
Yeah.
God has been a way maker.
Yeah. Right.
God has been my keeper.
All right.
God has been my everything.
Yeah.
So how can I be discouraged when I think of the goodness of Jesus?
Yes,
and not some of the things at all. Thank God, my soul cries out.
Hallelujah.
And most of all, I thank God for saving me. Amen. Salvation is the greatest reward that any of us could ever receive in life.
Amen.
Being saved is more important than anything else in life. Because being saved means that when I lay down, amen, when I fought my last fight, when I breathe my last breath, amen, I'm going to hear him say, well done, thou good and amen. Enter ye into the joy of the
Lord.
When you're faithful.
Amen.
Amen. When you hold on. When you refuse to let go. At the end, he's going to say, well done, thou good and so whatever your call is, be faithful. Amen. Hold on to it and refuse to let go. He says, so that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace, and many other brethren in the Lord waxing confident by my bonds are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Amen. Be an example. Live it. You know, it's easy to talk salvation. But it's not as easy to walk it. I was talking to my brother Joe recently. He said, you know, we got a lot of faith talkers, but you don't have a lot of faith walkers. I said, well, that's true. A lot of faith talkers, but not a lot of faith walkers. We must walk the life we talk about. The late Dr. Lulu Jackson used to sing a song, help me to live the life I sing about. Amen. I remember Dr. Jackson singing that. Help me to live the life I sing about. And she was a tremendous preacher. They said she could preach for 3 hours straight under the anointing. I'd be tired after half an hour. I don't know how she did 3 hours. 3 hours. They said nobody would move out of their seat because of her preaching. 3 hours? You know why? Because she learned to live the life that she sang about. And tonight we must live the life that we talk about. There are a lot of good Christian talkers, but very few of them back it up by walking the walk.
Mm-hmm.
So tonight, we want to be encouraged. Let's not just talk, but let's walk it. So he says, some indeed preach Christ even of envy and strife, some also of goodwill. The one preach Christ of contentions, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my bonds, but the other of love, knowing that I am sent for the defense of the gospel. He says, what then? Notwithstanding every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached. And I then do rejoice, yea, and will rejoice. You know what Paul said? No matter what, no matter how they do it, whether it's in pretense or if it's in truth, he said, I rejoice because Christ is preached. You know what he's saying? No matter what it looks like, I'm going to always turn this to a blessing for God.
Right.
If our minds are not right, we can take something good and make it bad. Amen. When our minds are not right. Minds are right. God can bless and help us and change us. That's why the scripture says, unto the pure. You ever meet some people that no matter what people have done to them, they never see the bad in it? Because the scripture says, unto the pure, all things are pure. What did he say? What is it? What was the writer saying? He said, have your mind right. When your mind is right, no matter what people say or do, you always want to extract the best from it. You know, somebody said, well, you just let people walk all over you. No, I realize that my Redeemer liveth. Amen. When I stand on God's promise, he's going to stand 11 days upon the end of earth. And because my Redeemer liveth, I don't care what they say to do.
Come on.
I'm just like the evergreen tree. I refuse, spiritually,
come on,
to allow anything that's happening in my environment to change me. Spiritually, in my environment, I refuse to allow anything to change me. Why? Because I'm going to look at it through the pure mind of God. Amen. Unto the pure, all things are pure. Amen. No matter what they say or what they do, I'm going to see God in the midst of it. Amen. And this is what Paul was saying, my mind is pure. Amen. Some are preaching Christ as supposed intended to add to my bonds and my afflictions. He said, but I'm looking at it like this. Christ is priest.
Amen.
So Paul's mind was pure. Meaning that he was only going to extract the good.
Hallelujah.
When God saved us, when God changed us, our minds must change.
Come on.
No longer are we conformed to this world's standard of living.
Come on.
Amen. But we are transformed by the renewing of our minds. You have to have a different mind. You can't get saved and live to have the same mind that you had before you got saved. It doesn't work. We can't get saved and act unsaved.
Come on.
A spiritual oxymoron is I'm cold and I'm hot. Amen. You have to make a delineation and set a difference.
Come on.
Because Jesus said in the book of Revelation, when you are cold and hot, I will. So we have to either be on fire for God or we have to not be.
Come on.
God does not want lukewarm saints. He wants us to make a stand. Well, how can you make it stand? By having a pure mind.
Amen.
Because when you have a pure mind, all things are pure. Oh, let them talk about me, Paul said. Let them do anything. I don't care. As long as Christ is preached. But on the flip side, it says, but unto the undefiled and unbelieving, there's nothing pure. If your mind is not right, if you're not keeping your heart for all diligence, you can't ever see the good in anything. Why? Because your mind is undefiled and unbelieving. So even when someone tries to help you, you won't extract the good, you extract the bad. But God has saved us. Why did he save us? So that we can reflect Christ's goodness.
All right,
so Paul goes on to say here in verse 20, according to my earnest expectation and my hope. Tonight, what are we earnestly expecting and what are we hoping for? And what this earnest expectation means this. I'm not just going to sit there and just in a state of apathy. But what Paul was saying, he And I'm going to be looking for God to do something different. Not life as it usually is. Not the status quo, but I'm expecting God to do something different.
Right.
Amen. Every day I wake up, I realize I got new mercies. So with my new mercies, I'm expecting God to do something new and different. Amen. My mind has changed. Amen. I see God in the midst of my circumstances. I don't walk alone because he says he is with me. So every challenge that I have, I'm expecting it to come out, to turn out for the better. Why? Because God is with me, and my pure mind says that God is going to work it out after a while. Amen. It's going to be a change. So he said, according to my earthly expectations, I hope that in nothing I shall be. I won't be ashamed. Though I'm in prison, though it looks like they have been there, I'm not ashamed. Because I still have the gospel of Christ. And I realize the gospel of Christ is the power of God unto the greatest thing that no person can take from us is our salvation. The devil can't take it. Nobody can touch your salvation if you save God and keep a watch. Nobody can touch your salvation. Amen. Trials can't touch your salvation.
Come on.
The enemy can't touch your salvation. Amen. We used to sing a song, I got joy, the world didn't give it to me. And the world can't take it away.
Come on.
Amen. I got something that the world didn't give to me.
All right.
And the world can't take it away. I got salvation. I got Jesus. I got joy.
Hallelujah.
And the world can't take it away. Too many saints don't have joy.
Come on. Come on.
How can the joy of the Lord be our strength? And we can't really eat joy. Amen. I got something. You know, life is going to have challenges.
Mm-hmm.
But long as I got Jesus, I can face those challenges.
All right, that's it.
Because I have the assurance that God is faithful.
Man.
And he would never put more on me than I'm able to bear.
Yeah. Right.
But thank God, he will with the temptation make a way to escape. Amen. That I may be able to bear.
Thank you, Jesus.
God is faithful. Amen. God is faithful. So stop allowing yourself to be down in the doldrums of self-pity and apathy.
Hallelujah.
Amen. It's time to rise up.
Yes.
Because our God that we serve, he's able to do all things.
Awesome.
Stop wallowing in self-pity.
Right.
Stop acting like the world has dealt you a bad hand. Because God won't put more on us than we're able to bear. He is faithful. But he will, with the temptation, make a way to escape that you might be able to bear. Well, how can God make a way for me to bear? Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. He said, I'll give you rest. Take my yoke and you learn of me. Why? My yoke is
easy.
And my burden is
light.
So he won't put on us and be able to bear. When we bring it to him. But you can be assured of one thing, if you try to carry that weight and you try to work out your own yokes, it's heavy. Amen. You won't have joy. You won't have peace of mind because you're trying to do something that only the Savior can do. When God saved us, he guaranteed us that he will carry us. Just like he told the children of Israel, when you were weak, that's when I carried you because you couldn't help yourself. So we have that assurance. That God will do what? Carry us.
Thank you,
how many need to be carried?
Yes.
Lord, my mind is weighing down.
Yes.
My spirit is shocked.
Yes.
Lord, I don't know where my help comes from. So I'm going to lift my eyes to the holy hills because I realize that my God will carry me.
Mm-hmm.
You can be assured one thing. If you try to do it without God, life is going to get worse. And the situation won't get better. But let him carry it. Amen. He will keep them in perfect peace whose mind is what?
Stay on thee.
Lord, is still on me.
Hallelujah.
And that's what Paul said, Lord, I'm in prison. I got one witness against me, and I got one witness in favor of me. I'm around the palace guards all around me. He said, but you get no one, I'm still in perfect peace.
Amen.
Because my mind is stayed on Jesus.
Yes.
So it doesn't matter what you do to me.
Come on.
I still got joy.
Hallelujah.
Amen. And he goes on saying, for me to live is
Christ.
Tonight, how many of us are really living to be Christ? To let the love of God radiate and shine in our lives. To let the Spirit of God be evident in our lives. Or how many of us, we just keep getting pushed back in the corner? Don't have joy? You know, they said, it's an old saying, it takes more muscles to frown than to smile.
Come on.
And the Bible said, a merry heart doeth good like a what?
Medicine.
A merry heart doeth good like a medicine. A lot of us need to work on some medicine. We need to get some joy.
Seriously.
Amen. Life is not killing you. And if you think it's killing you, look at our brothers and sisters over in these war-torn, poverty-stricken countries. If you think your situation is bad, stop looking at all the other stuff and start looking at people that are really suffering. Then you'll start counting your blessings and your name there. One by one. Amen. We need to start working on our medicine. We need to get some joy in our lives because God will help us.
Amen.
Let's go to Psalm 51. Psalm 51, we need some what? Joy. Somebody said, joy bells keep ringing in my soul. When we get the joy of the Lord is our strength. Amen. Nothing will hinder or stop us because God will be on our sides. Amen. We're going to start with verse 8, 51, 51, 5-1. P-S-A-L-M-S. Okay. Psalm 51. I can't help it. That's how we talk to y'all. We get along with it, right, Tom? You know, I'm always everything is always got to be mother and daughter, mother and father, son. So father, daughter, mother. All right, Psalms 51. Verse 8. This is the psalmist at one of the lowest points in his life. Amen. At your low point, this is what you need to do. After he had failed God so miserably and committed two sins in one, David concluded with saying, make me to hear joy and gladness. We need to turn it around. We need to have a different mindset. Lord, make me to hear some joy and gladness. Amen. You know, if I'm unsaved or if I'm newly saved and I'm teeter-tottering on what to do, the only way that I'm going to really know what church is all about is by watching the people that I am around. So, if I'm newly saved, they say, God can do anything. And I see, so I'm just going to pick on the brothers that way, you know, because we can handle that. That's good, right? Oh, well, I'm going to pick on the saints because we can handle that. How's that? If you look at somebody that don't ever smile, don't ever receive anybody, never send anybody an encouraging word, how's the joy of the Lord your strength?
Amen.
How can you say the joy of the Lord is your strength? You don't encourage anybody. Every time you leave church, it's woe is me.
Come on, come on.
My life is miserable. I can't do anything. Everything I'm going to do turns out wrong. Why even try anymore? That's a bad mindset. You need to kill that, because that is not God.
Kill it quick.
You need to slay that giant.
Quick.
Take 5 stones and hit him with all of them. Kill that mindset. That's not God. People come to church, you know, when people come to church, everybody has woes and problems. If you don't ever get out of yourself, how can you be your brother's keeper?
Come on. Amen.
How can you help your brothers and sisters? You can't even help yourself. Everybody has a bad day. Not bad, months. And then months turn into years. It has to be a change. So the psalmist says, make me to him joy and gladness. Amen. We must change our mindsets. We must radiate God's love and God's blessings through the life that we live. For the next week or so, just try to encourage somebody else. And I guarantee you one thing. You'll say, wow. And now I use this example myself. Amen. This way nobody can see I'm talking about it. I know when I was working with, I never forget the one kid, but you know, for the sake of names, I won't use his name. I thought I was going through something. Everybody like to have those private little pity parties? Anybody have those? Oh, be real. Y'all ever have those? Y'all people, y'all ever have those? That's right. Be honest. Don't worry. I know the old folks, they don't never have them. All we have to do is meet their faces if we know the truth, right? But I thought I was going through something. And one of the students I was working with when I went around, he wasn't as happy as he was. I said, well, what's wrong? And he said, well, my dad was in drugs and he had recovered. He said, well, he's left back and this happened. And the guy just cried. And I said, Lord, in my life. And then from that day forward, I never allowed myself to get in a position. I said, in my life, don't ever let me get in a position why I'm so self-absorbed with myself that I can't see my brother is in need. And also I took the time to encourage him. I used scriptures to encourage him and convict myself. And I did. I used the scriptures to encourage him and I convicted myself. And after that I said, Lord, never again. And I said, you know, it's so true. You think your situation is so bad till you have to encounter somebody that's really going through something.
All right.
Mine was a mental something. He was going through something. Their house was, something going to happen to the house, the family, everything was just, it was bad. And all he could do was cry because he was nothing but a student, couldn't change it. What I'm saying is this, we must learn to change the way we look at things. Amen. How can you help somebody else? How can you help the lost and the unsaved, when you're saved and you have all of God's promises and blessings, but you can't get out of self.
Come on.
The worst enemy that you can ever overcome is self. That's why Jesus said the first thing that you have to do when you get saved is deny who?
Self.
Wait a minute. Everybody don't know that scripture, right? You know that scripture? When we first get saved, we have to deny your
self.
Then after you deny yourself, you have to suffer. Why do you suffer? You have to pick up your cross and follow Jesus. Change the way you think. Change the way you feel. You say, well, I'm all right. Everything is good. Well, the church is going to do this.
Well, I'm not going.
Well, why not?
Come on.
I'm not talking about you, jazz, because grandma calls my culture out. You don't want to get it. What I'm saying is this, if you don't change the way you think, the devil's going to keep pushing you down so far that you're going to look at yourself and wonder, how did I get in this spiritual condition? How did I get so far away from God that I can't even feel Him? How did I get so far away from God that I can never think right? My mind is always contrary. We need to get closer to God. So David said, make me to hear joy and gladness. That the bone which thou has broken, may you got to rejoice. Have some joy. Amen. You ever see some people walk down the street and you say, wow, is that person going to have a smile? Remember, we used to go through the toll booth, Howie. You know, I don't know how many of y'all remember Howie over at the exit 23, right? 23. No, 24, 23. all day. You, how are you, every time you went through that, how are you just, I'm going to have no tickets and stuff like that. And man, every time you went through the toll booth, that's what the Lord was saying, how are you? Smiling all the time. So one time, Paula went through, she's like, Howie, what's wrong? You're not yourself. He said, I forgot, what did he say? You don't remember? Okay, I'll make him sorry. No. What he said was, you know, somebody called him because he was black. He said, oh, you're nothing but Uncle Tom. You always want to just smile and make people happy all the time. And it hurt him so bad, the guy stopped smiling. He said, Howie, please start smiling. We look forward. This is when we used to go to the toll booth all the time. We said, we look forward to you smiling. He said, my smile really up here a lot? So, I'm not lying. We look forward to coming to you. When we come, we look to see which one is he at. Just so we can go to Howie. Because that's the kind of impression he was. He allowed one person's negative comment to completely change him. And after we talked to him, he said, I'll never do it again. What I'm saying tonight is, get some joy. Amen. Let people read you. Let people know you. Let people see that there is a difference. Nehemiah, remember when Nehemiah was the king's cupbearer? The king was shocked. He said, Nehemiah, I never have seen you sad like this before. Because Nehemiah had a joyful spirit. He said, this is nothing more than the spirit of heaviness. Because Nehemiah had never been sad in the presence of the king before. Well, that should be our testimony. We should never be down. We should always be encouraged. Because God's joy is our strength. Let me say this in closing. He says, hide my face from my sins and blot out all my iniquities. Create within me tonight. That's what we need God to do. Amen. If our lives seem out of whack, out of kilter, we need God to create within us a clean heart. And then after he creates within us a clean heart, he needs to do what? Renew a right spirit. Create within me clean heart and renew a right spirit. He said, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Amen. Restore me the joy of what? Not my salvation, it's thy salvation. The salvation you give comes joy. We need God to restore the joy of his salvation. Amen. If you have a smile since 1922, if you haven't smiled in so long and you can never find joy, you need to say, Lord, restore to me the joy of thy salvation. And then after you restore to me the joy, once I get that joy, then I need you to uphold that joy with your free spirit. The Holy Ghost. It will help you keep the joy. So once God's restored, let the Holy Ghost help you keep it. Amen. Minister Gibbs. No, Minister.